Yesterday we began the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, and the machlokus was which kedusha is greater, that of a Beis HaKnesses or that of a Beis HaMedrash. So you have a place that's been designated as a Beis HaKnesses, now you want to convert it into a Beis HaMedrash or vice versa. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says that the kedusha of a Beis HaMedrash is greater than that of a Beis HaKnesses. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses is greater than that of a Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not allowed to transform and redesignate a Beis HaKnesses as a Beis HaMedrash, because then you'd be lowering the Kedusha. And Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says just the reverse. You're not allowed to designate a Beis Medrash as a Beis HaKnesses, because the Kedusha of Beis HaMedrash is greater. So yesterday, We mentioned a possible explanation for the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Because we explained yesterday that the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses is identical with that of, at least according to the Rambam Shita, with that of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam tells us, is designated for Avodah, for the Karbanos. And now we have a principle called Tefillah Keneged Karbanos, Tiknum, that our Tefillah replaces the Karbanos. Is Memele, it comes out that the Kedushas Migdash as a Makom Avodah and the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses as a Makom Tefillah are equal, are Hainu Hach. Is Memele, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot redesignate a shul as a study hall, because the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, insofar as its Makom Miyuchad Le'Avodah, is greater than that of a Beis HaMedrash. So that's where we ended yesterday. So we're trying to figure out, what does Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi hold? Why does he upgrade the status of Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash, and it supersedes the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses? So in this article that we started yesterday, which is Rabbi Gnack, he's presenting Rav Soloveitchik's views, he says the following, that according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, what is the Beis HaMikdash? We assume the Beis HaMikdash is a Makom Avodah, and therefore it's a Makom Tefillah, and so far as Tefillah replaces Avodah. Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikare, as we quoted the passage. But according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the Beis HaMikdash is a Makom LeTorah, Miyuad LeTorah, Miyuchad LeTorah. Now this is based on, number one, the Ramban. The Ramban, at the beginning of Parshas Truma, when the Torah commands us to build a Mishkan, so the Ramban says that Siva Tchila Al Dvar HaMishkan, Sheyia Lo Bayis B'tocham Mekudash Lishmo. So God commands us to build a Mishkan so that it'll have a bayis which is dedicated to His name. V'sham Yidaber Im Moshe L'tzavos B'nei Yisrael. And that's where Moshe is going to receive the word of God and command the people of Israel on their mitzvos. Vehine, says the Ramban, Ikar HaChefetz BaMishkan, that's the main purpose of the Mishkan, is Makom Menuchas HaShechina Shehu Ba'aron. So the Aron which houses the Shtei Luchos HaBris, that is the main goal of the Mishkan, because that's where the Shechina is Shora, I guess it means between the Kruvim. And the Ramban quotes the pasuk Kmo Shenemer V'No'adati L'cha Shom V'Dibarti Itach Me'al HaKapores. So that's the place where the Shechina comes down and conveys to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, the mitzvos, and Moshe then transmits the mitzvos to Bnei Yisrael. And that's the main purpose of the Mishkan. So in the light of this Ramban, we're shifting the main focus and the critical purpose of the Mishkan from Karbonos to Torah. That through the Mishkan, through the Aron, and especially the Menucha, the Shechina that comes through the Me'al HaKapores, right on the through the Kruvim, between the Kruvim on top of the Aron, that's the main goal for which Hashem, or because of which Hashem commanded us to build the Mishkan. You see where we're shifting the whole emphasis here. We understood, and then if you would ask me, I would have said intuitively that the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring Karbanos to the Mishkan. He's saying no, that the Ikar Chefetz HaMishkan, that's what it says in the Ramban, I mean, I'm not writing the script, so you can't blame me. Ikar Chefetz HaMishkan is Moko Menuchas HaShechina Shu Ba'aron, and that's where Shom Yedaber Moshe V'Yitzavis B'nei Yisrael. So that's already Torah. The transmission of Torah comes through the Mishkan. Again, you could always ask the following question. I mean, at Har Sinai Hashem transmitted the Torah, so why do I need the Mishkan? But I guess, if I understand correctly, and don't hold me responsible for this, but the Torah itself was given as a corpus at Har Sinai, but there are many parts of the Torah that are going to come later, you know, as issues come up. I mean, a classic example would be Baloska, we have the parasha of Pesach Sheni, right? The Tzfeim came forward and they asked, what are we going to do? We chop liver, you know, we couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, so now we excluded from the Korban Pesach. And other such parashios. So those mitzvos and those commands would come to Moshe Rabbeinu through the, you know, where the Shekhinah conveyed that content of Torah through the Mishkan, through the Aron. So the Rav here is quoted as saying that the Mekadesh of the Migdash is the Aron. In other words, what generates the Kedusha? What's the hub, you know, that Nekuda Merkazit, you know, that generates the Kedusha of the Migdash? It's the Aron. And the Ikar Chalashay Migdash is the Makoma Aron. And here Rav Soloveitchik quotes a sugya in Menachos, on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Now, I'm not saying I understand the sugya Menachos, because I would have to really go through it inside and study it be'im, but I'll just give you like a little bit of a taste, you know. Say amazleg, as they say. So the Gemara in Menachos records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, which has to do with the iser, the prohibition against entering into the Kodesh Kadoshim. And the question is where. You know, where in the there are different parts of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Now, what we're talking about here is a Tamei, a person who's a Tamei, that if he goes into the Migdash, in certain parts of the Migdash he enters in, he gets Malkus for fighting a lav, but in Kodesh Kadoshim, or at least certain part of the Kodesh Kadoshim, he gets Misa. I think it means Misa B'dei Shamayim, if I remember correctly. So it works like this: Tahorim shenichnasu lifnim mimechitzasam lahechal, lahechal kulo. This is according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, is bar boim. So it means he only gets malchus. So now we're talking about a tahor who entered in chutz mimechitzasam shalhechal. Lifnim, excuse me, Mikutzoso Shel Hechal. Notice he went beyond the Hechal. And he gets Malkus for that. But if he goes Mi Beis La Parochas El Pnea Kaporis, then he gets Misa for that. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaHechal Kulo Umi Beis HaParochas Be'arboim Ve'El Pnea Kaporis Be'Misa. So there's Machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about the Iser of entering into the Kodesh Kadoshim. According to the Rabbanan, the entire Kodesh Kadoshim is B'misa. Correct? Because again, we'll read the Rabbanan again. The Rabbanan say, Tahor Shenichlusu Lefnim Mimichlitzasam Lehechal Kulo Barboim, but Mi Beis LaParoches, if they go beyond the Beis HaParoches into the Kodesh Kadoshim, is B'misa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no, that Mi Beis LaParoches is still B'arboim, and you only get Misa if you go into Pnei HaKaporis. So again, according to the Rabbanon, all of Kodesh Kedoshim, the entire Kodesh Kedoshim, the whole location, the whole Shetach is B'misa. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. Only if you go what's called to the Pnei HaKaporis. What's the Pnei HaKaporis? The Pnei HaKaporis is Lifnei Ha'aron. And then you get Misa. But the rest of the Kodesh Kedoshim is only B'malkus. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a special status in Halacha of the Makom Ha'aron. And if you go in there, you chayv Misa. Now, what do the Rabbanan hold? Do the Rabbanan deny this whole entity called Makom Ha'aron as a separate entity? So he says the following: the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim does what's called Hazos, and he sprinkles the dam from the par, or the dam asoyer, actually they made a concoction of the two, in the Kodesh Kedoshim. But where in the Kodesh Kedoshim? What's the exact location in the Kodesh Kedoshim for the Hazos of the dam par, the dam asoyer? So that's called Bein Badei Ha'oron, right near the Kaporis. Shenemar, based on Apostle Lufnei HaKaporis Yazeh. So it means that everybody agrees there's a separate place called the Mokom Ha'aron in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And we divide up the Kodesh Kedoshim into smaller parts. What's the Nafkimina? So two Nafkiminas. Number one, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a Tar goes into this area called the Mokom Ha'aron, he gets Misa. If he enters into the rest of the Kodesh Kedoshim, he does not get Misa, he only gets Malkus. And according to Chachamim, even though they disagree, and they maintain that anywhere in the Kodesh Kedoshim generates Misa, but there still is a separate halacha, a status of Makom Ha'aron, with regard to the Hazos on Yom HaKippur of the Kohen Gadol of Dama Par and Dama Sar. That's in the Makom Ha'aron. Now, in Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron. That's a Gemara in the Sechta Yoma. So nevertheless, the Hazos on Yom HaKippur were dafka done in the Makom Ha'aron. That's called Lifnei HaKaporis, because that's what the Torah says. That's where the Hazos have to be. So we see that even in Bayis Sheni, there's something called the Makom Ha'aron in the Kodesh Kedoshim, which has a special status, and it's Machshir Hazos HaDam of the Dam HaPor and Dam HaSoyer, even in the absence of the Aron. So the physical Aron is now B'gnisa, and yet, the Makom Ha'aron is Kadosh. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest, why is the Makom Ha'aron so Kadosh? And the answer is because the Makom Ha'aron, that represents Torah. And Vino'adati, the Pasuk says, Vino'adati l'chasham, v'dibarti tof me'alak ha'poras, that was the exact location where the Shekhinah transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, which he, Moshe Rabbeinu in turn, would transmit to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that the Kedusha of the Migdash, and therefore the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, would have to be a Kedusha HaTorah, because the essence of the Beis HaMigdash, the Iker Beis HaMigdash, is the Makom Ha'aron, which is the Makom of transmission of Torah. So if you have a Beis HaMedrash, which is dedicated exclusively to Torah study, that has the Iker Kedusha of the Beis HaMigdash. Right, because we're going according to the Rambam Shita that Beis HaKnesses is sanctified with the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash. Right, and that's how the Rambam derives that Afilu B'Shmamam, even after desolation, it still is Kadosh, and so forth and so on. So therefore, if you have a place which is a Beis HaKnesses, and with all due respect, it's dedicated to Tefillah, that doesn't give it the same status as the Beis HaMikdash, as if it were a Makom Torah, because now you need a Beis HaMedrash, and a Beis HaMedrash is a Makom Torah, and that gives it the Ikar Kedushas HaMikdash, or in this case, Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. So in the footnote, he says the following. He says, Nireh, the Kedushas HaMishkan veHaMikdash tluyim ba'aron. Ubelow Aron ain't kind kedushas migdash. Ubebay sheni afshikvar nignas aron, avaladayin kedushaso kaim. Sharei hoya aron b'makom shegnignas dehu mitzuras hamigdash shemakom yuchad lignos boes ha'aron. So again, this is a whole discussion here about the sanctity of Bayis Sheni, insofar as the Mekadesh of the Migdash is the Aron, and now the Aron is Begniza during Bayis Sheni, and the answer is that the Gniza is also part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a din in Tzuras HaMikdash that the Mokam HaMiyuchad Lignos Bas HaAron means that the Aron is still there, so the Kedushas Aron is still Chai V'Kayom, and therefore the Migdash has Kedushas Migdash. And he writes here, Shamati Mimori Varabi Moran Agrid Zatzal B'Shem Oviv Hagram Zatzal D'Shem Ha'aron Hudafka Mishum HaLuchos. That what generates the Shem Aron? It's the Luchos HaBris, the Nikra Aron HaEdus. And based on this, he has a whole analysis of a parasha at the end of Shmos about Bezalel and Ben Abadim and the Aron. I'm not going to go into that because that's already a little far off, but basically we're saying that without the Luchas HaBris, there's no Chal Hashem Aron. And the Luchas HaBris represent the Torah. And the Aron is the Iker Makadish of the Migdash. And therefore, Beis HaMedrash, according to Rabbi Shub ben Levi, has a greater Kedusha than that of a Beis HaKnesses. Now the Beis HaKnesses, on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, has a greater Kedusha because it's a Makom Tefillah. And the Iker purpose and the kishkas, the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, is a makom avoda. Obviously, as long as we have the Mikdash, we have avodas hakarbonos. And after the Churban HaBayis, to replace the avodas hakarbonos, we have avodas hatefilah, because tefilah is keneged karbonos. So let's go back now to the pasuk that we spoke about here in Malachim. That's on the top of Chav Zayin of Aleph. It says there, Bayis Gadol. And we have Machlokas now between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shub ben Levi. According to Rabbi Shub ben Levi, Bayis Gadol is Makom Shemagadlin Bo Torah. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, Bayis Gadol is a Makom Shemagadlin Bo Tefillah. And the Gemara proves that according to Rabbi Shub ben Levi, it must be that he holds Megadlin Bo Torah, because he holds that a Beis HaKnesses you can convert into a Beis HaMedrash, but not the other way around. Rav Soloveitchik wants to know why the Tanakh uses the word Gadol. What's the meaning of the word Gadol? Does it have a deeper connotation? Because we translate Gadol as great, but he's saying, Rav Soloveitchik, a little bit different. There's a nuance of a chiddush here. He says that Gadol means miyuchad. Miyuchad means that it's unique. I'm just going to cover the next paragraph for a second, just to share with you. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says that the mitzvah of Igadat al-Bincha of Sipit Yisrael has to be fulfilled by describing the night of Pesach as miyuchad, as different, it's unique. And Rav Soloveitchik is medayik in the Rambam that the Kori is the one who reads the Manishtana. He says that the Manishtana is really coming to fulfill this Iker Mitzvah Sipur by telling you how this night is unique. It's unique in four ways. So that would be to describe the Gadlus of Leil Pesach. That would be the Mitzvah Sipur Yitzisayim. But the word Gadlus means the Miyuchadus. What's Miyuchad and what's unique about it? So he quotes here the Vilna Gaon. It says in the Haggadah, based on the Sifri, Vayihisham Legoy Gadol, like it's a pasuk in the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. It says Malami Chahoyu Yisrael Mitsuyanim Sham. So the Gaon says, what is the word Mitsuyanim Sham, and how does that interpret Goy Gadol? So he says the following, that the word Goy means Gvia. Gvia is the countenance of a person. I think in fancy English, I think it's called the physiognomy. Anyway, and that's Mara, the Yichudo of Kol Echad V'Echad. So you want to see what's unique about a person, you look at his face, because the famous Yushalmi says, Ein Partzufeim Domo Zulazu, V'Ein Deyoseim Domos. Everything is in the Partzuf. There are Kabbalists who know Chochmas HaPartzuf.
Yes, it was a Sefer Chochmas HaPartzuf.
Chochmas HaPartzuf,
yes.
So he says now that when it says Goy Gadol, what we're trying to show is that the Goy, which is the uniqueness of this nation, is Gadol. And Gadol means that it's different, it has unique features that other nations don't have. So the Pasuk says in Devarim, in Vaschanan, it says that Mi Goy Gadol, and it says that we, the people of Israel, are Goy Gadol, we're unique in two ways. Number one, Asher Lo Chukim U'Mishpatim Tzadikim, in other words, we have the Torah. And number two, it says Asher Lo Elokim Krovim Elov, that we have a special power of tefillah. Now let's take the word Gadol and plug it back into our Pasukim Melachim that we're studying, Bayis Gadol. So the Bayis Gadol is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, is a reference to the Beis HaMedrash, meaning a Makom Shemagadlim Bo Torah, because Torah is going to reflect the Yichudo, the unique nature of Klal Yisrael, as the Pasuk says, Mi Goy Gadol Ashalochu Kim Mishpatim Tzadikim Kechala Torah Azos. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that Bayis Gadol is the Beis HaKnesses Shoma Gadlin Bo Tefillah. And the reason for that is because it says, Mi Goy Gadol Ashalochu Elokim Krovim Elov. In other words, that our godless, as a Goy Gadol, what makes us miyuchad, what makes us unique, is that we have the Koach HaTefillah. And if you go back to the story of Avraham Avinu, Hashem says in the beginning, Lech Lecha Veschol Goy Gadol, and the Gemara Pesachim says, what does it mean, Veschol Goy Gadol? Omer Rav Shimon ben Lokish, Veschol Goy Gadol, Zeu Sha'omrim Elokei Avraham. Vavarechecha, Zeu Sha'omrim Elokei Yitzchak, Agadol Shemecha Zeu Sha'omrim Elokei Yaakov. So you see that the Agadla Shemecha means that we mention your name Avraham Avinu in Tefillah. And that would support Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Bayis Gadol is a reference to the Beis HaKnesses as a Mokom Tefillah. So that's what we were able to get out of this article which we started yesterday and we wanted to finish today. So where are we up to today? Aval machru Torah lo yichu sfarim. This is if you have the wide lines, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth of the wide line. So he quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you sell a sefer Torah, you should not use the money to buy sfarim, meaning Tanakh. And what does that mean? That the money has to go to a higher level of kedusha, and not to a lower level of kedusha. And therefore, if you can invest the money from the Sefer Torah in Sfarim, what you're basically doing is you're taking a greater Kedusha and you're lowering it to a lower Kedusha. Iboilu, Mao Limkar Sefer Torah Yashan, Likach Bo Chadash. What if I'm buying with the money that I'm selling the Sefer Torah another Sefer Torah? They both have the identical Kedusha. And Rashi and the Mefarshim point out that even though it's a Sefer Torah Yoshin, it's still readable, it's Roy Likros Po, so it still has the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Is Kevin de Lo Miley Lake, since he's not using the Domim that he receives in payment for the Sefer Torah for a higher level of Kedusha, also you're not allowed to do that. O Dilmo, should we say Kevin de Leka La Yule Iluye Achrine? Shop your dummy, meaning if you cannot invest the money in a greater kedusha, because the highest kedusha that we know of is that of the Sefer Torah, then you're allowed. In other words, it's enough that you take the money from the sale and invest it in something that has the identical kedusha, the shava kedusha, even though it doesn't have a greater kedusha. Now, here we have a major machlokas rishonim on this sugya. Between the Rosh and the Rivash. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Rivash was a good deal later than the Rosh, but he was still in the time of the Rishonim. The Rosh claims that the Gemara's Safek is only with regard to a Sefer Torah Shel B'nei Ha'ir, Shemachru Shelo B'maimon B'nei Ha'ir, O Shel Yochid Shekedisho L'Kros B'Rabim. I will say for Torah Shel Yochid, Shaso oknoli atzmo, o shal rabim umachru b'zayin tuveh ir b'maymet b'nei ir, domav mutarim legamrei afil l'mishtei bei shichra, v'kolshkan liknas b'em sefer Torah Chadash. And the Beis Yosef quotes this Rush. So again, according to the Rush, the issue in the Gemara is only relevant to a Sefer Torah that belongs to the city, and it was sold shelo b'maimad, you know, designed to be a b'maimad. Because if it was sold b'maimad ha'ir, then you can do the money whatever you like with it. You can even invest it in beer. Another case where you could even invest it in beer is a private Sefer Torah that was not given over to the rabbi. You know, I have my own personal Sefer Torah. I had it written by a scribe, and now I own it, and I use it whenever I want to. So again, if it's a Sefer Torah shel Yachid, for the purpose of a Yachid, or even if it's a Sefer Torah of the Rabbin, but it was sold in the presence of the Zayin to be a B'maimer Asir, then the Dogma Mutarma Filim Ishtadei Shikra. The whole issue here is when it's a public Sefer Torah that belongs to the city and it was sold Shalom B'maimer B'nei Ha'ir. Omnom Dasa Rivash, Shafil B'Sefer Torah Shal Yachid, O Shal Rabbin, Umachru B'maimer B'nei Ha'ir, Gamkin Osel Ishtamish B'Dom of Litzarche Chulin. In other words, according to the Rivash, the deal of Zayin Tuvei Ir B'maimer Anshe'ir, that's only with regard to a Beis HaKnesses. Because in the case of a Beis HaKnesses, you can actually be Poetz Kedusha. But in the case of the Sefer Torah, there's no such thing. The Sefer Torah is Gufo Kadosh, you know, it's sanctified. You can't remove its sanctity. So if you can't remove its sanctity, then the Gemara thinks that the Domim remains sanctified, even if it was sold by Zayin Tuvei Ir, and you have to invest the Domim in a greater Kedusha, or at least the same Kedusha, and that's where the Gemara vacillates back and forth. So the Rush is holding that the same din of Zayin Bnei Ir, of Zayin Tuvei Ir, Bnei Anshe Ir, that applies to a Beis HaKnesses, applies to a Sefer Torah as well. And if they, at least as far as the Dovin is concerned, I mean, nobody's claiming that the Kedusha Sefer Torah is popular. But at least as far as the Dovin is concerned, the sale is valid. And somehow we can... just one second, let me just get this straight. I'm sorry, I'll be right with you. The sale is valid. And the Dovin is Yotzi L'chul, which means you can use it even to buy beer. Ella what? The Gemara Safek is... What happens if it was not sold in front of the Zayin Tuvei Ir? Yeah, go ahead,
Osher. No,
sorry,
I got it.
Okay, so I think I have that. Okay. So the Gemara says the following: Toshma. Let's quote our Mishnah and see if we can come to some conclusion from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Avol machru sefer Torah, avol machru Torah lo yikhu sfarim." So you cannot sell a Sefer Torah and use the money to buy Nevi'im Uksuvim, because that's lowering its Kedusha. Sfarim hu delo. HaTorah b'Torah shapir dami. From the Mishnah, you can derive the conclusion with a diuk that you cannot transfer the money from the Sefer Torah to Sfarim. But if you're transferring it over to buy another Sefer Torah, that should be fine. So the Gemara says, no, that's no proof. Masnisin di'eved, ki kami boile l'chatchila. The Mishnah is talking about a case where they sold, the Bnei Ha'ir sold the Sefer Torah, and what are they going to do with the Domim? So that once they sold the Sefer Torah, the Domim can be used, and you're allowed to use it to buy another Sefer Torah. Why? Because there's nothing else you can do with the Domim. What are you going to do with the Domim if not buy a Sefer Torah? Anything else would be lowering the Kedusha, so we're going to allow you to invest it in another Sefer Torah. But my suffix, says the Gemara, was about l'chatchila. You're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah and then do so in order to take the Domim and purchase another Sefer Torah. So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Toshma, golin Sefer Torah b'mitbechos chumashim. In other words, you're allowed to roll the Sefer Torah with a lower level of Kiddusha, which is the mitpachos, the me'il, that are used to cover a chumash. A chumash means it only has one in the five books. V'chumashim. And you're also allowed to be golel the chumash, but mitpachos nevi'im uksuvim, because a chumash is midway in the Kiddusha between the Sefer Torah, which is on top, and the nevi'im uksuvim, which is on the bottom. So on the one end, the Chumash does not have the same Kedusha as the Sefer Torah, but on the other hand, it has a greater Kedusha than the Nevi'im Uksuvim. So to take a mitpachas of a Chumash and use it for a Sefer Torah, that you're allowed, and you're allowed to take a mitpachas of the Nevi'im Uksuvim and use it for the sake of a Chumash. Now on the word Chumashim here, I have an interesting note, and he says the following: Darkam hoisa lasos chumashim kesefer Torah beglila bitfiras gidim el shlohoy bo kol chamisha chumshei Torah el chumish echad ukedushasam gedola mishel nevim uksuvim. So again, this touches on something that we mentioned yesterday, the Prima Gadim, about our Chumashim that are printed Chumashim, whether they have Kedusha or not. Ken Zayin, that there's no proof from here, because these Chumashim that we're talking about that have Kedusha are Chumashim that are written on Gvil, and they're written with Galila, and he says they're written with Firas Gidin. You know, this is not printed Sefer. So I'm just saying that I'm not posketing what the din of Asfarim is, but there's no riot from here. So now let's see. There are two parts of this Brisa that you can be medayik from. Let's go back to the Reish of the Brisa. The Reish of the Brisa says that you can take mitpachos shel chumshin, and you can raise the Kedusha to the level of a Sefer Torah. So from this we're going to be daik. Tani miyas golim sefer Torah b'mitpachos kumashim mitpachos kumashim in mitpachos shel sefer Torah lo. Because you can't take a mantle, you know, a me'il from a sefer Torah. We'll call it sefer Torah A, and use it now as a mantle for sefer Torah B. You're allowed to take a chumash, a mitpachas shel chumash, and use it for a sefer Torah, but not a mitpachas shel sefer Torah for a sefer Torah.
How are we medayik that from the Mishnah and the Brisa?
Again, let's go over the diuk of the Brisa. The Brisa allows you to take mitpachas shel chumashim and raise the level of Kedusha to use it for a sefer Torah.
Right.
The implication would be that if it was a mitpachas of sefer Torah, you would not be allowed to use it for a sefer Torah.
I don't understand that. Okay, I don't understand why they have that svara.
Let me say it this way. The Brisa could have told me a bigger Kiddush. I did the Asila Hashta until you tell me the Kiddush that you can take a mitpachas shel chumash and use it for a sefer Torah. Tell me a bigger Kiddush that you can even take a mitpachas of a sefer Torah and use it for a sefer Torah.
I don't have the Havamina to say that I shouldn't be.
You follow what I mean?
I know what you're saying, but I understand.
What you can do is you can raise the level of Kiddush, but you can't be on the same equal level of Kiddush. Okay. We're going to have an opposite right. deal from the Sefer, but now we're focusing on the ratio. Okay?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Eima Sefer, but let's look at the Sefer. The Sefer says, V'lo chumashim b'mitpachos Sefer Torah. You can't take a mitpachos of a Sefer Torah and use it for a chumash. HaTorah b'Torah Shapir Dom. You know, if you're telling me that it's awesome, why not tell me a bigger Kiddush? I can't even use the mitpachas Sefer Torah to wrap up another Sefer Torah. Apparently, that would be okay. Why? Because it's Shavah b'Shavah. And the only case in the Sefer where the Brisa outlaws it is in the case where he's using a mitpachas Sefer Torah for chumash, and he's lowering the level. If he wasn't lowering the level, if it was Shavah b'Shavah, be muta elam yihol lek elam mishma mino. So for this Brisa, you can't prove one way or the other. This is what we call in the yeshivas, we call this diyukim asosrim. You ever feel that? You know, it's from the Reishi, you medayik this in the middle case, and for the Sefer, you medayik the opposite in the middle case, and therefore you can't come to any conclusion.
A standoff. All right.
So mihol lekel mishmam, you know. So now the Gemara quotes another Brisa, and maybe we'll prove it from the other Brisa. Toshma minichim sefer Torah al gabi sefer Torah. We're allowed to rest one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. And how much more so? I'll read to you the Hebrew. He says, "V'chein menichim sefer Torah al gabi chumashim, v'chumashim al gabi neviim uksuvim." So from this braisa of Seder, you see clearly that you're allowed to put one Sefer Torah on top of another Sefer Torah. In other words, we're not lowering the Kedusha, and that's okay. We could use the Sefer Torah as, you know, sort of speak as the foundation for another Sefer Torah, as long as it has the same Kedusha. So the Gemara says, Hanocha Kamed, you can't prove anything about from this price of Hanocha. Shiny Hanocha Delo Efshar. Meaning he had no other place to put down a Sefer Torah. He only had it on top of another Sefer Torah. To Elo Tema Hochi, if you're not going to agree with me that this case is different, meaning that Hanocha is different, is Michrach Hechi Karchinon. Wow, this is a wild Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand how you roll up a Sefer Torah. Because when you roll up a Sefer Torah, then the top part of the Gevil is going to, or the Klaf, if you want to call it, is going to be on top of the lower Klaf. Yosef Dapa L'Chavri. Now, as you do it with the Gvila Atzma itself, you're putting one on top of the other. Here the Rashba is not happy about this. He says, Ma Raya Mikricha L'Anocha. Hello, Kricha. When you roll a Sefer Torah, L'Tovas HaSefer. You're doing it for the sake of the Sefer. You can't leave it open. That's not called a Gnai. But to lay one Sefer Torah on another Sefer Torah, you know, that's a Gnai. But the Gemara doesn't assume so. The Gemara assumes that you can make an absolute equation between Glila, or Kricha, as the Gemara calls it, and Hanocha. So why is it that you're allowed to do such a thing? And the answer is Ella Kevin Delo Efshar. There's no other way of being Golel a Sefer Torah except for putting one daf on top of the other daf. Is therefore Shari is Hachanami Kevin Delo Efshar. If you have no other place to put down the Sefer Torah, then you should put it on, you know, on top of another Sefer Torah. That's only as far as Lo Efshar is concerned. You have no place to put it down. But you want to know, can you buy a Sefer Torah, or shall we say, can you sell a Sefer Torah in order to invest that money in another Sefer Torah? That might be awesome. You can't prove anything from Anocha. Anocha is the situation of Lo Efshar, and we can compare it to the case of Kricho, which is Lo Efshar. So we still need a Raya. Toshma. And here we have another, well, it's actually a quote of Tana, of Amor, in the name of a Tana, the Omer Rav Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo Yimkar Adam Sefer Torah Yashan Likach Bo Chadash. You should not sell one Sefer Torah for the sake of buying another Sefer Torah. That is about as clear as you can get.
Yeah.
And the Gemara is going to reject this as well. So Gemara says, Hasam, there, Mishum Pshiusa. The only reason why Rav Shimon Gamliel asked it is because he was afraid of Pshia. It means that after he sells the Sefer Torah, how do we guarantee that he's going to actually use the money to buy another Sefer Torah? Kikam Rinon, my suffix was Kigon Dichsiv Umanich Leifruke. I already have a Sefer Torah that's written. Right, it's in the house of the Sofer, and now I want to know, can I sell one Sefer Torah? It's an older Sefer Torah, and I want to use the Dovin to invest in a new Sefer Torah. Am I allowed to do so? Here, we're not afraid of Pshiusa. So even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who prohibits selling one Sefer Torah, an older one, for the sake of buying another one, that's because the second Sefer Torah that he wants to buy has not yet been written. But if it's already been written, then even Rav Shimon Gamliel would allow it. He's only worried about a Pshia because the Sefer Torah hasn't been written. So until they write the Sefer Torah, he'll decide to rechannel the money in another way. Toshma. I'll bring you a raya from another statement of a Tana. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir Ein Mochrin Sefer Torah. The only two reasons why we allow selling a Sefer Torah is Ela Lilmod Torah. Notice you have somebody who wants to dedicate himself to Torah and he needs money to support himself. You can sell a Sefer Torah for that purpose. Velisa Isha. Or if you can't marry off a woman, you need money to marry her off. So we sell a Sefer Torah, and we use the funds in order to support this marriage. And this, when people go around collecting Fachnasas Kala, this is the Gemara that they have in mind, the great mitzvah of Fachnasas Kala, because we're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah Fachnasas Kala. Ishma mino Torah b'Torah shapir domi. Interesting. The Gemara makes the following equation: just like you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of studying Torah, then you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of buying a Sefer Torah.
This shapidum means it would be better to do it that than that. And I mean, shapidum to me means it's even better. If you're going to sell it for Sefer Torah, it's better than having to do it to sell.
I thought when I saw the Toshma, I thought the Gemara was saying Ein Mokrin Sefer Torah Ella A and B, but you can't sell it for the sake of buying another Sefer Torah. The Gemara is saying Pufaker. That from the fact that you can sell the Sefer Torah to support Torah, the study of Torah, then how much more so you can sell the Sefer Torah for the sake of Torah itself.
So if it was just Limud Torah alone, then maybe I would have said it the other way, you know, then maybe I would have said it that way. But since it adds Lisa Isha, so I see that it's a lower level than Torah to Torah. That's why that is. Because the Shita of Talmud Torah was higher than, you know, if we said this Talmud Torah itself was higher than the, you know, than the base Knesset, and then, like, you might have thought that that's a higher level even. So,
So the Gemara now rejects it. Dilma, perhaps you can sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of studying Torah, but not for the sake of a Sefer Torah. Why is study of Torah greater than a Sefer Torah? Shiny limud shall limud mevi lidei maisa. In other words, when a person studies Torah, that gives him the ability to fulfill all the mitzvahs. That's not true about a Sefer Torah. An Isha Nami, why were they matir in the case of an Isha to sell a Sefer Torah? Because the Pasuk says, Lo sobra, lo sheves yitzara. Is that in Yeshaya? Where is that Pasuk?
Yeah, Yeshaya.
Oh, it's in Yeshaya.
Namhe.
Okay, great. It's interesting that the Gemara doesn't quote the Pasuk Puravu here, but maybe the Gemara means that Puravu maybe is only an obligation on a man, and now we're talking about a woman. I don't know. Aval Torah b'Torah, lo, for the sake of another Torah, maybe we're not allowed to do it. Okay, now here I have a footnote, and he says the following: L'maskana sagamara, lo pashtu es asafe. The Gemara comes to no definite conclusion. Ha'im muta limkar sefer Torah kedei liknos b'domav sefer Torah acher. Baramam Hilchos Tefillin Perek Yud posak sofek lechumra. Ubi beis Yosef Arachaim Sima Kufnun Gimel Hevi Bazem Achlokus Rishonim. So Lamaisa, we really don't have any clear cut final conclusion on this sugya. Now, as far as the sugya before of putting one Sefer Torah down on another Sefer Torah, so many Rishonim hold that that's only bidalo efshar. And in Shulchan Aruch it says the following: Simon Resh Pei Beis. Mutal aniach Sefer Torah al gabi Sefer Torah. V'lo chilek bein efshar l'lo efshar. All the Rishonim here seem to assume that the only time you can put a Sefer Torah on another Sefer Torah is when you have no choice. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't add that qualification. And then he writes, V'ayim betosus minochos shedas rabbein itam shema umad lav derech kovad hu v'sefer Torah shema oran ayim mushkav v'lo ma'umad v'yafal pichen ayim cholim la'amido. Wow. Now, this is very interesting.
That's not how we do it. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. He says that Rabbi Tam has a different take on what's the best
way to put
matzah via the best situation for the Sefer Torah. And he says that standing it up is not considered derech kovad. Right. I think that's why, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav used to stay standing. But you would know better than me from Boston, or I could ask open. I think the Rav used to remain standing even after they did Hagen Galil, because the the Magbia, right? The Magbia was holding the Sefer Torah vertically. And the Rav says the only time you're allowed to sit down is when the Sefer Torah is horizontal. I think. I mean, don't quote me on this, but that's why during Hakafas, it's a real issue. You know, people sit down during Hakafas. I don't blame them. It's very long. It schleps on for hours. Yeah, but the Sefer Torah in a vertical position. So maybe what you should do is, if you can, is that after they do the first round, make sure the Sefer Torah are down. But, you know, who's going to change the minhagim, you know, in Simchas Torah? But there are many people who sit during our kofos. Anyway, I got off on a tangent. Okay. Torah Rabban. Lo yimkar adam Sefer Torah af al pi she'eno tzarech lo. A person should, let's say he has two Sefer Torah. He should still not sell a Sefer Torah, even though he doesn't really need the Sefer Torah, because he has another alternative to read the Torah. Yeser al kain, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, afilu ein lo mayocha. The man is starving. I still would not, shall I say, recommend that he sell a Sefer Torah. If he does, if he sells a Sefer Torah, or he hires out his daughter as some sort of a shivcha, is Eino Roas Siman Bracha Li'olam. And that phrase I've personally encountered in the Gemara in Tainus and also later on in Pesachim, when it talks about certain days where we don't encourage you to get involved in Malacha, like for example Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says if you do Malacha on Tisha B'Av, is Eino Roas Siman Bracha, or the Gemara in Pesachim.
Erev Pesach,
yeah. Yeah, the Erev Pesach, Arev Pesachim, right. The Makom Shenagu, etc., etc. But generally speaking, Enoroa Simen Bracha Li'olam is not an Isur. It's only, you know, it's not recommended. It's not a good idea.
He brings down here the Mishnah Berurah. It says it's...
Oh, so you're a step ahead of me. I just wanted to quote the Rambam to you. The Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Tefillin says, Asur Li'odam Limkar Sefer Torah Afilu Ein Lo Mayochal. In other words, the Rambam understood that this is an Isur. It's not just Enoroa Simen Bracha Li'olam. And if you look in the commentaries on the Rambam, Nagos Maimonios and the Kesef Mishnah, Mishnah Melech, they're all bothered by this. How did the Rambam go one step further and generate an Isur? And he says that all this is only L'chatchila, but b'di'evet, if he went ahead and he sold his Sefer Torah, then the Damim on Mutter. Again, that would depend upon whether he sold it b'shiva to ve'ir according to one man d'yomar, right? We had a machlokas before between the Rosh and the Rivash. And you were going to tell me about the Mishnah Berurah.
It's just Mishnah Berurah says that Rosim Baruch Olam means whatever financial gain you got here, you're going to lose it someplace else. That's all.
But it's not an Issa. That's what I wanted to point out to you. The old Mepharshim are up in arms here because the Rabbi Mamish writes, Asur Limkar Sefer Torah Afilu Ein Lo Mayocha. Okay, the next sugya is a little bit of a sugya unto itself. I'll just maybe say a few words in introduction because we're going to have to stop. What's the deal with Mosar? You remember, like, for example, if they sold the Beis HaKnesses, the Mishnah wants to know if there's extra money, what do you do with the extra funds? And now the Gemara is going to analyze the same issue with regard to all Tashmishei Kedusha. If you sold them and you invested them in a greater Kedusha or the same Kedusha, well, the Gemara lets us, what happens with the extra monies of a Tashmishei Kedusha? Now this piece we finished. The piece that we started with earlier, I mean about almost a week ago, we still have a little bit left that we didn't finish about the halacha of be'elei bezdin masna, meaning to what extent does tnai of a bezdin work to be matir tashmishei chol for beis hakneses that was sold and so forth. So maybe we'll finish that another day. And then I see there's an article here called Din Yiras HaMikdash U'Kavod Beis HaKnesses. So I'm not sure if we'll get to that in Masechta Megillah, but since we're dealing with Beis HaKnesses, maybe we'll talk about that as well. Okay then?